Welcome to another edition of The War Room here on KOKC Radio. I am your host, Sean Fry. Today's one of my favorite days. We have a new guest, first time ever guest on the show, and it's for our 201st episode. So what off a big milestone. Lindsey Pellock, a former Parsons High School athlete, great pitcher there, also pitched at Labette Community College for 2 years. Her coaches were Tom Scheibe at Parsons and then Ryan Phillips at Labette. Lindsey, welcome to the program. It's fun to have you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
So I will just jump right in, and we'll kind of want to reflect on the career you had. And let's start at Parsons. You played from 2013 to through 2017. So you played in the 14, 15, 16, and 17 springs. Did you do any other sports at Parsons while you were there?
I did volleyball.
Okay.
All 4 years, and then I did basketball just my freshman year.
Okay. Who was your coach your freshman year? Because I got here in the fall of 2014. So your freshman year, I was not here for. Who was your volleyball coach your first year there, and your basketball coach?
Sandy Burris Lyons was my basketball coach.
Okay. And
was it Eric? I think.
Was Eric? I do remember Eric Lyons was the girls' coach at one point. I never covered him as the girls' coach, though.
So. Yeah. So it was the Lyons. And then volleyball, I had Coach Simmons.
Okay. So you were a three sport athlete for your first year and two sport athlete. Did you do anything in the winter, or your sophomore through senior seasons?
I just did conditioning and stayed in shape for softball.
Okay. Take me through just kind of what your experience was like with Parsons High School in regard to athletics, your 4 years there, particularly with softball. Softball was your, I would imagine, your first love. You were a damn fine pitcher, when I talk about Parsons softball now, and we're going to get into that, but my eras, there's three eras of Parsons softball. There's the Lindsey Pellock era. There's the era for about 4 or 5 years after Lindsey Pellock where they really, really struggled. And then the era about right now, like last season and this season, where Shelby Liska, the head coach there, they're starting to turn around. They're in the early process of it. And if anything, my criticism of them this year is they should have been better. That's progress in and of itself. But take me through how you kind of reflect on your time as a Parsons athlete, particularly on the girls' side.
Well, there's definitely a difference between the men's sports and the girls' sports there, but that's a problem nationwide. Because the women's Final Four in college basketball is just getting viewed more than the men's this year.
Yeah.
It's come a long ways, but it also hasn't. Mm-hmm. But like I said, nationwide problem.
What makes you say it's come a long ways and it has? What ways do you see women's sports, particularly at the high school level, particularly in Kansas and Southeast Kansas, which ways do you see it progressing?
I feel like they're starting to get more people coming out and support them than when people like me and before me were there playing. They're starting to get a better developed strength and conditioning programs in the schools that are definitely helping, because we didn't have a good strength and conditioning program for the women when I was there in high school, and I didn't really excel and take off in my softball career the best until I got to Labette, when we had a strength program and a conditioning program that we did daily with practice, and that's when I really saw a big difference in my level as an athlete and really started to take off.
Mm-hmm. One thing that is stood out to me, and it's not particular to Parsons, but it's I don't even want to call it a problem, it's just a trend that I notice, is I do notice a lot of high school athletes that come from Parsons similar size schools or smaller, and it's partly because of just their access to resources. They're not as primed for the rigors of college athletics when and if they sign. Strength and conditioning is a big part of that. You just spoke on that. I'm curious if you could, elaborate on that even further, because you said you got to Labette and there was almost the culture shock of the weight training program. That maybe plus the psychology of it all.
Yeah, because we weren't taught in high school correct form on how to do squats or bench press, anything correctly, or what order to do it in. I learned all that as I got to college.
take me. So your 4 years at Parsons, I know you probably don't have the – I don't have them, so I'm sure you don't have them off the top of your head. Do you remember about what your record was team-wise? I think you finished – you had a winning record your senior year, I think, in softball.
Yeah.
Were you at or around 500, I'm guessing, your 4 years there?
Probably. I know my freshman year we were pretty loaded, and my senior year we were loaded. And then the two in between was definitely the down years of my four. But
who were you loaded with your freshman year?
We had players like Audrey Perez still there. Okay. That was her senior year. Shea Kelly was there.
Yeah.
She's an amazing all-around athlete.
Shea Kelly had a good little career at Independence for basketball, mm-hmm. too. She was good. She's very quietly one of the better athletes that's come through here in the last 100%. 10 years. How would you have described just kind of the culture and atmosphere of Parsons softball during your time there?
I tended to black out on a lot of that. I tuned a lot out. I felt like we needed to be pushed and challenged more than we were. Mm-hmm. Like practices were repetitive. We didn't condition like you need to be successful. But in all around high school athletics, if you have a good catcher and a good pitcher, you're going to get somewhere. And we had that. Yeah.
You had a good battery mate with Bridget Dunley was mm-hmm. your battery. Was she your catcher all 4 years?
Yeah.
Okay. That's something I've thought of, and it's not just high school softball, it's college softball too, and it's pro softball. Is mm-hmm. if you have and it's pro and it's baseball too. It's almost a problem I have with the sport. If you have the best pitcher, you're gonna win.
You will win some.
Yeah. I want to transition to your little bet career, and I'll do that by segue to it by reinforcing my point. The teams that LeBet had under Ryan Phillips when he had Alex Brake as the pitcher mm-hmm. For 2 years, a girl out of Webb City, two-time National Pitcher of the Year award winner from the NJCAA, girl out of Webb City, really good rise ball. That team batted in the low to mid 200s. They were not a great offensive team. Mm-hmm. They could bunt, and they could do a lot of small ball, and Ryan thrives off that when he wants to. He loves to be aggressive and creative with his tactics and that, especially when he knows his offense may not be able to, you know, hit gap to gap consistently and just really just – when he knows when he has an offense that he can't rate, he knows how to manufacture runs. Mm-hmm. And they were good enough to do that. He had the National Pitcher of the Year. They went to the national tournament twice. Almost every other team I've covered for him in the years since he's had a better offense. Mm-hmm. But he hasn't had Alex Brake. Yeah. You get to LeBet, and you graduated in 17.
Yeah.
So you get there in the fall of 2017. First off, why the decision to choose LeBet, and who else looked at you out of high school?
I had pretty much most of the local JUCOs in the mm-hmm. area looking at me, like Neosho, Allen, LeBet. I grew up and I've around the LeBet program watching it. I had a cousin that had played there years before me.
Who?
Sydney Maffei.
Okay.
So I grew up watching her at the field. I grew up on that ball field. I'd seen Coach P and the success of the program. Mm-hmm. I looked at the options and I thought it was the best decision for me to stay at home and go to the local school. And it ended up being one of the better decisions I've made.
What was number two? What was maybe the one that you would have gone to had you not gone to LeBet?
Probably Neosho over LeBet, but mm-hmm. I like LeBet a lot more. And Kim
coached under Ryan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of similarities in how those programs have evolved over the years. So you get to LeBet, obviously the culture shock with the weight program. Take me through that transition in your life, becoming a college student and a college athlete. From the perspective of the credit I give you is you played your full career at LeBet. Mm-hmm. You played your full 2 year career. That letter that you signed in Parsons, you fulfilled in its entirety. And there's a lot of high school athletes, not just in Parsons, but in a lot of schools that they just don't. Some of them don't make it to the first game.
Yeah.
And others don't make, you know. And you get to people who make it to year two. I think you're clipping at about you're probably clipping under 50% of that. What about your transition? How were you able to kind of not endure, but feel push yourself far enough to at least finish your career in a way that was memorable and acceptable to you?
I had a lot of people to prove wrong, and I'm stubborn, so I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Mm-hmm. And that's just how I am, and that was a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. But it had to be different to a degree being around a bunch of players that were all from different communities. I mean, you know, there's obviously going to be there's always going to be, you know, the social circles that exist, but it's certainly, I think Ryan, one thing Ryan does a good job of is he really kind of create, you guys are almost on an island in that own camp, within that campus. You guys are your own program. Everybody's their own program, but man, it certainly seems like every year, year in, year out, the softball program is in lockstep more than anybody else.
There's a lot of time, you spend a lot of time together when you have four or 5 hour practices in a day, and then study halls. And one thing about Coach P that he does different that not a lot of places do is he makes you, I wouldn't say force, he makes everybody go. If there's a women's basketball game, a men's basketball game, a wrestling tournament, the softball team is going, and they're supporting the other athletes, and in turn shows support to the softball program.
That was one thing that got pointed out to me by a professor at LeBay earlier this week. Yeah, they texted me because baseball, and they held a graduation ceremony, a very small, quick graduation ceremony for baseball and softball, because they're both going to be in their postseason tournaments during the actual graduation ceremony at LeBec Community College this week, so they're not going to be able to participate in that. The entire softball team went to watch the sophomores graduate for LeBec, but maybe half the baseball team showed up.
That's what it was like for mine too.
Yeah, and the text I got was, "That's not a good look for baseball," and I was like, "Yeah, he's showing me. Yeah, I'm getting showed a photo of this right now of yours." Gosh, you know what's crazy is outside of Marquez and Peyton, I can't remember who those girls are. But that, and that's true too. Another story I like to tell about Ryan's program is there was a conference basketball night. I think LeBec was playing Johnson County. This was it might have been when you were there, honestly. It was around that time. And the men's game, the men's team wasn't that good that year, and they were getting blown out by 30 on some random Wednesday night. And everybody had left. Nobody was really watching the game anymore except me and the people that were supposed to be there, the coaches and all. And the entire softball team was there.
Sounds about right.
Sitting at attention till the bitter end. It's such a cliche question, but take me through what your time was like at LeBec. Obviously, you were there 2 years. You pitched more as a sophomore than you did as a freshman. Who were the pitchers that were on staff as a freshman for you?
It was me, Haley Vandevender, and
Paige Schomber?
No, Jones.
Jones. Paige Jones.
Yeah. So we were all three freshmen.
That's right, yeah. Where am I getting the name Paige Schomber from?
I have no idea.
I cover so many athletes that if you have the same first name, last name, I'm just guessing most of the time. But you told me that the weight training was kind of the culture shock to you. What was the take me through what the transition was like?
Hard, challenging, stressful, but very rewarding in the end.
How so?
I've made some of the closest friends I have now from my time at LeBec. Still talk to a couple of them almost every day. And it was challenging because you're adjusting to college and college classes at that level. That being a college student going from high school is an adjustment itself. Then you add in a sport. And you add in a sport where you went from having a practice that was an hour and a half, 2 hours long with no conditioning, no strength training. And it was kind of a happy-go-lucky. You got in, you did your drills, you left. Versus going to a very intense college program. I will say I probably played for one of the best coaches I've ever played for at LeBec. And you're going from your practice times double, triple what you were used to, and you're doing a lot more intense stuff, different drills, you're learning, and then life in general.
Yeah. What's the, if you had a message to convey to athletes, how do you tell them, how do you prepare them as best you can for the rigors of college? What would be the advice and or just the changes you would make to high school programs to prep athletes more for that level?
Start working hard now because it's not going to get any easier. Mm-hmm. And just to stay true to yourself and stay tough, and it's mind over matter at some point.
Yeah. Another thing about JUCO, every college in particular, but JUCO especially, is it's a battle of attrition. If you just stay on the roster and mm-hmm. do what you need to do, you're probably going to see the field at some yeah. point. But let's take a quick break. When we come back, I kind of want to press you a little bit about just kind of how you gauge the landscape of athletics in this area a little bit. So we're gonna pry your brain a little bit, whatever's there to be pried at least. But more Lindsay Pellock here on the War Room on KOKC Radio when we come back. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Don't go anywhere. We're back here on the War Room here on KOKC Radio. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Lindsay Pellock, former pitcher for the LeBec Cardinals and the Parsons Vikings, here on the show. We were just talking off air about, we rounded out the A segment of the show with, you know, let's kind of take stock of the landscape of this town. It's no secret, and Shelby Liska, the head coach there, she's not going to object to it. It's no secret that the Parsons softball program is still in a massive rebuild. They are making strong headway this year. Mm-hmm. They are starting to be a competitive team that, you know, can hang with their peers. They're still a ways away, but I mean, just 3 or 4 years ago, they didn't belong. They didn't belong out there. We were talking, and you know, I said at the top of the show, I judge Parsons softball an era since I got here. My first era was watching you pitch for 3 years, and they were a competitive team. Obviously, and you were one of the few athletes that was primed for the rigors of college, and you are the exception that proves the rule. Mm-hmm. One thing we were talking about off air is if more girls want to get involved, and this goes true for all sports too, you want to get more, you want to get better at a sport and get noticed by a college, and you want to have success in it while you're in high school, you got to play travel ball, you've got to play rec ball, you've just got to go out there and play. Mm-hmm. Take me through kind of your journey in that when you were in high school and you know, pre-college, what a general schedule was like year round for you with regards to particularly softball, because I know that was the sport that you obviously pursued.
Well, I started playing when I was like four, and mm-hmm. started pitching when I was probably 9. Didn't pitch in a game until I was 10. So I practiced year round from the time I was 10 until the time I hung up the cleats. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing a lot of people don't quite get, is especially as a pitcher, like a specific position like that, it's a year-round thing. Mm-hmm. I would do high school ball. I started playing in rec leagues. And the rec league that we have now compared to when I was a kid has really changed, and not in the best as far as like just participation numbers. There's not enough kids going out and starting young and playing in the rec center league. Mm-hmm. And so I did that, and I did travel ball. I was always on a field.
Yeah.
And then got to high school, kept working. I would go throw in the high school gym in the off season after basketball practice.
Yeah. I mean, there's obvious value in just reps. That's essentially that is the crux of what we're good at, more and more reps. Mm-hmm. And to speak on there's a lot of rabbit holes we could go down. I think every kid should play in their local rec league at least yes. to some degree, because mm-hmm. you have to.
That's where you learn the fundamentals.
That's where you learn the fundamentals, and it's where the better players will stand out, and mm-hmm. that means those better players can teach the younger, less skilled ones in their own community. Mm-hmm. They can. That's where you establish leadership. And yeah. then you can go to your more exclusive travel ball programs and mm-hmm. do what you do. One thing we're talking about off air, though, that I wanted to have this conversation is that, and I see it particularly with softball, and it's a byproduct of the shortcomings of women's athletics in general, that it has fallen more victim to this, mm-hmm. is that softball has become so locked behind a paywall for so many.
Yeah.
How do you we're in a community here in Parsons, Kansas, USD 503, the school district for Parsons, you know, a few years ago, And I say a few years ago, because I haven't looked at the number, the most recent numbers. I think for the 2020-2021 school year, 75% of students at USD 503, three out of every four, were on free or reduced lunch.
Yeah.
And that is obviously indicative and emblematic of the type of community that we're in. How do you tell a family that... I don't want to say a family that struggles to put food on the table, but a family, if you're qualified for free and reduced lunch, you probably can't afford the $500 new ghost for your kid to go play travel softball. How do you make, you know, you're an adult now. How do we make travel ball? How do we make these resources more accessible to kids that, and I'm not saying you come from some rich background. I know you don't.
Yeah.
But there are kids who come from backgrounds unlike yours that just can't do it. They can't pay for it.
Starts with businesses putting into the kids, the rec center putting into the kids.
Because
I know the rec center has programs that will give scholarships for those families for so their kids can play. The problem is the cost of equipment is so expensive.
It's astronomical.
Like, most families can't afford $600 to get a new bat, cleats, and glove, and some balls to go play catch with.
I agree that the equipment is out of control. I saw a TikTok that I have saved. I don't know why I thought it was so funny. It just is to me because it speaks to all my opinions about it. Is some parent films their kid taking an at-bat, you know, during their travel ball tournament, and the kid and the girl struck out, and she goes, and the caption is, with the $500 new ghost and $700 a month, you too can watch your kid strike out.
I saw something like that.
I guess, you know, how much, you know, you've seen the younger kids younger than you come through these programs. Do you feel like they, you know, how do you get through to them that they need to get out more?
That's where it gets tricky, because just from when I was growing up to now, things have changed. We didn't have the technology that's available now when I was a kid. So, like, we had to go outside and play all the time, and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way. And now it's like you have to drag people to go outside and play. And equipment's expensive, but, like, you don't really need much. Get a ball and a cheap glove at Walmart.
Yeah.
Get started. Like, I don't know. It's just everything's changed with all the technology and things that are out there now, and I feel like some people, not everybody, I just feel like kids aren't quite as interested as they once were, because there's so many other things that they can go do now.
Yeah.
Than go outside and play any sort of sport that's out
like
there.
Like watch TikTok.
Yeah.
Like I do apparently too much.
I mean,
much.
Same, but I still go outside.
Yeah. I wanted to shift to something here. We got about 5 minutes left. I wanted to shift to one other topic. You and I talk about it with some frequency, in that you are still hurting from your days as an athlete. Your arm just isn't what it used to be,
or what it should be for somebody my age.
How old are you now? What, 25?
Yeah,
you're 20. You're 25. That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I got here and she was 17. I got here and you were 15.
Yeah.
now you're 25. And you're a guest on my radio show. I would have never thought that 15-year-old girl I couldn't stand was.
Who knew? 15 was not a fun year.
But describe to me kind of just the nature of your arm injury, how you would describe it, and what that process has been like since graduating Labette in 2019?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some days are good, some days are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Just like nothing.
What's wrong with your arm?
Yeah, I'm not completely sure. I just know that I won't go to the doctor to get it looked at. It hurts.
Yeah.
More days than it doesn't. It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Partially because I threw way too much. As like in high school, we had another pitcher, but I was the one that was always out there throwing. Mm-hmm. And I would throw, we'd have two doubleheaders a week, and I would throw probably 75-80% of those.
Yeah.
The whole time. I think that there needs to be some sort of pitch count, inning count, and softball, like baseball, has their pitch count.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's a more natural motion, but if it was completely natural, my arm wouldn't hurt 4 days out of the week.
So obviously with baseball arm injuries, and, you know, there are problems with the pitch count limit that I can, you know, addressed from a competitive standpoint. Mm-hmm. Part of me thinks it shouldn't exist in the postseason. You get to the postseason, you're supposed to push yourself as much. Like, the state baseball tournament is who has the best number three pitcher, because you have to throw three games over 2 days, which means if you burn somebody, they can't go the rest of the day, they can't go the rest of the tournament. So who has the best number three? And not every team's going to have a best number three. But regardless of that, the nature of arm injuries for pitchers in baseball are different than the nature of injuries that will of wear and tear injuries that softball pitchers were experienced. Can you tell me a little bit? I'm not asking for a medical expert opinion, but how do you kind of gauge the difference there? Because most people, I mean, you see softball pitchers get up to 100, 200 pitches a day, and that's not uncommon.
I'd say it's more like baseball. They use their arms so hot and heavy, and they pull it out to the side, and that brings in all those shoulder and elbow injuries.
Yeah.
Softball pitching, it's a more natural motion, but we're using our entire body to throw one pitch. Like, yeah, they use their legs and stuff because they push off, but we're landing on one leg over and over. We're hyperextending one of our hips every time we throw because we have to open them up and then slam shut. We're using our wrists to put different spins on the ball. Mm-hmm. We take most of our power from our softball pitch comes from our legs, whereas in baseball, their motion, most of their power is coming from that arm and that shoulder, which is why it's more intense on their arm than ours.
So what would you, if you had to put a pitch count per day, if you had to put a pitch count limit on, a restriction on, what would you guess the number to be? Because I really don't know. I don't know what I would put it at. What would you put it at?
I don't know, because I would easily hit 100 a day and I'd be okay, but here I am 5 years after hanging the cleats up and I'm not okay. So I'd say no more than, I don't know, 150, 200.
And part of that, too, is there just wasn't the depth of pitchers at Parsons. And it's true for a lot of schools. There wasn't, I mean, until Riley Bebb started pitching again for Labette County, Lily Beery was eating every inning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's not fair to Lily Beery to have to go out there and throw a full doubleheader 2-3 times a week.
And I hope she doesn't pay for it in 5 years like I did.
Yeah. And, you know, and so that's a statement to – that goes back to the problem. Not enough kids are out there playing. Mm-hmm. There's not enough pitchers out there. Until Riley Bebb came back, who were they going to throw besides her?
Yeah. I think a lot of people will try to pitch, and then when they – it's not an overnight thing because it took years for me to get it down, and it takes months to learn a new pitch. I think they realize it's not something they're going to get overnight, and it takes a lot more work, and I don't think not everyone realizes that until they're in it, and it's a very tough mental and physical thing to do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people just – they see it, the challenge, and they don't always push through it.
Yeah. Have you ever thought about coaching or anything like that as your life continues?
I actually do pitching lessons sometimes here and there. Not as often as I used to, but I do them.
Who's somebody you've given lessons to in this area?
I actually did give Lily Berry a couple lessons at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lily Berry's looked. I've been the most impressed with her this year as I've been in any year. By the way, I think she, in the appearances that she makes, she's looked.
Oh, Cadence Ball. I've taught her. I've taught a lot of so many kids that it's hard to keep track of.
But yeah, Lindsay, I think that is all the time we have. We actually went a little over. I love when guests go over. That means they had plenty to say, and I didn't have to sit here and do my job. I just let you talk. So I appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for having
me. Open door anytime. Exciting week for softball because I know the region tournament is this week up in Topeka. Those are always my favorite when I go watch a conference tournament up in Topeka. It should be. Neosha County's good this year. It's probably going to be my picks for the conference. My top two picks are Johnson and them to potentially win it. It's an 8-team double elimination bracket this year. It's not just four like you were there. They lost the two bids. So 8-team double elimination. It's just going to be – it is going to be cutthroat up there. And the tournament's going to last 3 days. It's a 3-day tournament, potentially four if the championship round goes to that quote-unquote if game. Nice. But that'll do it for the War Room. Lindsay, thank you for coming on. I appreciate you as always. If you need pitching lessons, go seek out Lindsay Pellock. She was a hell of a pitcher for Labette. I can prove that with a newspaper when she beat the reigning Division I national champion Butler, I'm excited to kind of see how you continue to, hopefully people hear what you have to say and we impact, and I hope you have a I hope your impact on the sport in this community continues to grow.
Thank you.
Well, that'll do it on the War Room. I'm your host, Sean Fry. Everybody stay safe and God bless.